And welcome to the Trustedpreneur Podcast. I'm David Ritchie, certified business coach, chief strategist for Trustedpreneurs, master franchisee, accredited investor, and have over 20 years in corporate leadership roles.
And I am Madeline Ritchie, CEO at BNN Services and International Master Coach.
Madeline and I have been married for 23 years, business partners for 16 of those years. Our podcast is where we will delve deep into entrepreneurship, innovation, personal development, with the goal to help you live the Trustedpreneur way. Madeline, thinking of the Trustedpreneur way, one question we get asked all the time when we're working with clients, especially those when it's a new business and they're wanting to grow and scale, is when can I add employees?
Well, that's a good question. That is a great question because I felt the same way when we first started BNN and I was doing it by myself. So you do know, you did a really good job with us, which it was putting together a kind of a formula to get to that number. Do you want to share with our viewers what would that look like?
Sure.
So let's just say, for instance, right? It's a $500,000 entrepreneur out there. That's how much their business make, right? What would you say, depending on the business, I get it, but do you have a formula for those individuals to kind of guide them through the process of how they should hire or when they should hire?
I do have a formula. It's an interesting question. And back then, I mean, back in 2008, it was more of a swag. I hate to admit that now, but it was. And you said something interesting. It does depend on the type of business it is. Mm-hmm. It depends, you know, what your transactional size is, and it depends a little bit on how many transactions you do, right? And so there's a whole list of things that you have to look at. But the formula is relatively simple. It's basically revenue per employee equals total revenue divided by the number of employees. Now, in most companies, I would always, if I'm consulting them, and when we do consult them, we start with a benchmark at 500,000. Now, in your description, it was interesting because you said it, they're making 500,000. Well, are they grossing 500,000? Or are they netting 500,000? Two totally different discussion points. Then also you have to look at what are their margins, right? Mm-hmm. So are, you know, if you're selling, if you're grossing 500,000, but yet you're netting 300,000, it's a totally different number.
Okay.
Right. So if you may. Okay. So for example, with BNN, what we did is we really sat back and I calculated it based on a capacity and an efficiency ratio. Mm-hmm. So back then, what we were doing, since BNN works on a very small transaction size, for us to get to that level of revenue, mm-hmm. we had to do a lot of transactions. So right. we had to actually calculate a few things before we could just come up with that number. Mm-hmm. Now, what was interesting is when I go back and look at it, I go back and look at the transaction count that I said, okay, you can hire an employee after you do this. Mm-hmm. Then it was based, and I do the calculations on what our revenue was. It was really interesting. It came up to be right around $450,000. But it's too simplistic to just say that, right? So when people ask that question, we have to go deep into what their business mm-hmm. is. Mm-hmm. Is it a membership model, transaction model? Is it a high ticket item, right? There's a lot more there, but there is a formula.
Okay, so to that point. So let's just take and give an example to our viewers. So if anybody feels, you know, perhaps somebody that's listening is a franchise owner. Mm-hmm. And most of those franchises are membership base, right? So this is very specific membership base. Their revenue is about $70,000 a month, mm-hmm. right? And they're starting. What would you say so that to our audience, when is the right, how would they go about allocating resources?
Right. Well, the first thing, especially if it's a franchise, right? Mm-hmm. So a franchise provides a blueprint and they're going to have this recommendation of how many employees they should have to cover the hours that they need. This is where this gets a little bit more interesting, right? Because now as a franchisee, are you working in the business, working on the business, right? So what is your role as the franchisee in the business, right? Are you taking a salary today? Or are you not taking a salary, right? All these things come into play to that discussion. So let's use some of the scenario that you put out there, right? So in fact, actually, I'm going to pull back and I'm going to use a model that we know very well.
Okay.
All right. So they run on average when they're fully running, right? They work off a 2.5 to 3 employee FTE employee role. Now, that doesn't mean you only have 3 employees. That probably means you have 8 to 9 employees. But what you're actually calculating for is how many FTE do you need to achieve the results that you want to do?
Is that on a daily basis or is that, I mean,
so you,
because you said 9 employees overall, but then, you know,
well, schedules and shifts.
Right. So it's 3.5 per schedule.
Well, it depends, right? So for example, when in that scenario, Madeline, what we would look at is they're working X number of hours. I need this type of resource, this type of resource, and this type of resource to achieve the expectations of, in this case, the franchise, but also you as an owner.
Right.
Now, if you're one of those employees, right, and you're acting as a general manager or some form of leadership role, then your calculation would be different. And in theory, if you're not taking a paycheck at that time, you could actually layer in more FTEs per day. Right. So your answer is how many FTE do I need per day? Then you carve out how many hours and how many days I'm working. Then you figure out your total headcount. That's a different discussion. This really is coming down to how many FTE do I need to run my business? Right. So if you go back to BNN, right, and it's a good model to use because it was very transaction. And just like a franchise, even though it wasn't, its average ticket item was small. Right. So we had to do a lot of widgets to get to the number. So we had to know what our capacity was, what the efficiency ratio was. We needed to understand what we were projecting for growth. There's a lot that goes into this discussion.
Okay.
That and so let's go back to now go back to your model. Right.
So I know we don't have a lot of time, right? But so I just want to make sure that one of the takeaways for our audience is that they have a very simple model that they can take with them to their business today. So go.
Right. So what I would say is the first things that they want to do is they want to, first of all, you have to look at the financial health of your business, right? So you have the formula and whether you want to have your revenue per employee at $300,000, $350,000, that's a business decision. It's a business decision that's based on financial health. If you have a lot of debt service or you have a lot of expenses to run your business, then you're going to have a higher revenue per FTE. Makes sense, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So then the next thing is as you're looking at that and are you, the question I always ask a franchisee, are they paying themselves monthly?
Okay, so let's just take in this case, let's make sure that this individual does work in their business and they do get paid because I think that's real.
Right, and they get paid, something, right? So you have to take in consideration if they're paying themselves more than what the average person they would hire, then they have to take that into account to what their gross revenues are going to have to be as they add layers of employees, right? The other thing they have to look at is capacity and workload, right? And this is really kind of interesting because what is the capacity? How many hours are they working? And what are the requirements for those people? Because now you're looking at, because ultimately what this is going to get to is when you get it all said and done is you're going to have this number of people that you should have. Then you're going to back it into with another number. And it's, what do I have to pay them? Right? Because it's kind of an interesting thing, right? If you're paying all your resources the same, it's probably not going to work.
Right?
So we look at capacity and workload analysis. Who's doing what? When are they doing it? And why are they doing it, right? So if you have a owner that's acting as a general manager, but they're the they're the person also cleaning, right? Then that's a whole different thing, right? Because you're taking resources and you're moving what really they should be doing to grow their revenue, right? Mm-hmm. The next thing they have to look at is, are you projecting growth? So you still use the same formula when you're projecting growth. Mm-hmm. But what you have to do is you have to realize, oh, so my benchmark is 500, but I'm projecting growth. For a while, it may only be that I'm achieving a 400. Right? So you have to really understand where you're taking your business. And then in the beginning stages of a franchise, right, what they're going to look at is it's probably going to be lower so that you're delivering a word that I know that you love is exceptional service.
Right.
Right?
Exceptional experience.
So, and experience, right? So you have to have that in order to understand that, oh, wait a minute, I'm projecting growth. So in order to have that experience that we want to deliver, which is also going to help us project more growth, mm-hmm. I may have to go lower on my revenue per employee for a while, but ultimately it'll catch up. Then the other thing is efficiency and productivity. One of the things that you have to look at is there a technology or a solution that will make your people more efficient? I will use BNN as an example. This was back in 2010 to 12, mm-hmm. right? We were growing, we're booming, we're hiring more and more employees. And for a while, we didn't have time to look at technology as a possible solution. Mm-hmm. While we never laid anybody off, we found a technology that said, hey, guess what? We don't have to hire more. Right. And that cost of that technology was actually cheaper mm-hmm. than hiring
yep.
the number of employees that we would have had to by a lot. And so all those things come into play when you're looking at when is it ready to hire. But most importantly, they start with a formula and you have to figure out, you know, use your example again, 70,000 a month, 60,000 to 70,000 a month, you're grossing 360 to... You know, well, what? 720,000 already. So you're already over the number. Now you have to look at your margins, right? So if your margins are big, right? And so like the one we were talking about as an example that we're involved in, they have huge margins. So 720,000 in gross sales, you can hire enough employees or you can just make more money as an owner because you don't need as many head FTE.
So what's the simple formula?
The simple formula is, as I said, it's revenue per employee equals total revenue divided by the number of employees. Then you have to actually, and this is where most people miss, is you remember when we were in corporate, we had these great finance guys, right? Mm-hmm. And they basically asked you like 12 questions at the end of every quarter and said, what are you going to grow? What are you going to lose? Right? What all the different numbers, right? And they broke it down and then they spit out the spreadsheet. And that spreadsheet said what? You can either hire or you need to get rid of people, right? Yeah. I mean, that's really what it said. And we had this whole finance group. Well, what they did is they had a business plan and they were adding and finessing that business plan. And what most businesses don't do in order in the hiring calculation is they don't bench it to their business plan. How do you know where you're going to go?
Yeah.
Right? I can calculate it for you, but I need you to tell me where you expect to be. I need to know a little bit more about the business because if the business doesn't need the employees, there's no reason to hire it, even if you're doing more, right? So think about that location that maybe they have a real high ticket item and maybe it's, you know, $2,000-$3,000 a transaction. Mm-hmm. They probably don't need as many employees to deliver the experience, right? Because you're not going to need as many in the front end of it, but you may need it in the service end of it. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, like car company, right? You know, they would have their own different calculation based on their gross revenues, and it would certainly not be probably 500,000, probably be more.
Mm. That's very insightful, if you ask me, because that part I don't ever do. You do that, and you do it very well. And that's how we make money. Okay, so what other things you would want to let a what's give me that? That's number one, right? I mean, from a hiring standpoint. So let's move to KPIs.
Yeah.
So what would be a good? Would you recommend them?
KPIs?
Yeah.
no business can live without a KPI, a key performance indicator.
Yes.
And again, this is interesting. So let's take your franchise model, right? They will talk to you about, here's what three or four locations are doing, right? Mm-hmm. But what they don't really tell you is what's underneath all that, right? They'll tell you...
What do you mean underneath all that?
Well...
What does that mean?
Meaning that how many... Again, getting to this, the same calculation, they don't really tell you how many employees you need to do it. They kind of just recommend. And they don't really tell you, you know, are they... Because not all franchises are run exactly the same. Right? That, you know, a lot of them, you can have some variety on number of hours you're working. Market has a lot to do with that. Mm-hmm. Location has a lot to do with that. So they may have a market that's doing incredibly well, but they're also population and their demographics are different, right? So not everything is. So you have to really break down your KPIs based on your market. And I will always tell people, you know what? You need to know how much you want to make first. Mm-hmm. If you don't know how much you want to make first, you can't back into anything, right? Yeah.
And so reverse engineering.
It's always about that. It's just like when we talk about business planning, and we'll talk about it in a future episode. We always start with the exit strategy first. So in a business, you start back at the finish line and you work backwards. Then in actuality, you flip it when you're launching and understand it's not going to actually be exactly as you thought. Mm-hmm. So if you do it that way, your KPIs naturally flush towards the front.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, it's really interesting. A lot of people, what they do is it's like goal setting, right? You have to work from the, you know, backwards. And that's a mindset situation, mm-hmm. right? Most people write, you know, numerous of goals on a piece of paper and, you know, kind of put them away, never look at them again. Actually, I do have a really, really good framework on that, where I start with the end in mind, right? Like you said, start with the exit strategy, which people will look at you and say, why would I start from the back? What would you say to those people?
The reason you start with the exit strategy mm-hmm. is it sets the stage for every one of your goals, everything that you need to achieve. If you want to achieve success in any business, mm-hmm. you have to know what your plan is, right? You have to know where you're going to be, mm-hmm. right? So if your goal is to sell it, mm-hmm. at what point are you going to sell it? Say, I want to sell my business for a 3X or a 4X. Well, what does that mean, right? I have to take that back. And that's why you start at the end. If you want to transition it for generational wealth and you want to transition the business to children or other relatives, right? Well, mm-hmm. at what point are you going to do that? You have to know that. You can't just run into it. True point on that one. We had an opportunity to sell one of our businesses, right? Mm-hmm. And we did not do the exercise at the time well enough to understand when and how much, what was, what wasn't.
In two occasions, actually, we did that.
Well, thanks for making them realize we weren't the smartest people then.
No, that's not what I mean. First time you said no. The first time you didn't like the process. And the second time, that's when we didn't know.
Right. So, but yeah, that the reason you start at the end on anything is that way you can build the plan. And if you build the plan going backwards, you'll know exactly what you need to do every day, mm-hmm. every week, every month, every year. And if you're not, you need to recalibrate. Mm.
Good insight. What else you got? You seem to have a lot.
I think the only thing I would say is that, you know, getting back to the when is it time to hire, mm-hmm. Part of it is a little bit gut, right? Because you have to know your business. You said something.
But what if your intuition, you don't have an intuitive bone in you?
Well, I think everybody does.
I know everybody does, but does everybody use it?
But so I was going to go back to what you said. You were you were tracking trends, right? Mm-hmm. So within the one business, we kind of knew the cyclical part, which is really interesting. And we didn't really talk about it. And I want to make sure I bring it up, because understanding the patterns of your business will tell you whether mm-hmm. you should possibly outsource a role, contract a role, or hire a full-time employee.
Yeah.
Right?
So give me an example of that.
Well, for example, if you're in the real estate space, you know that there's going to be a window probably mm-hmm. between mid-November mm-hmm. to about early February that it's going to slow.
Right.
Right? So not necessarily the wrong time to hire an employee if you're training for the selling season, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But it may not be the best time to hire if you're thinking in August, September, unless you're replacing someone, okay. right? You may not want to hire somebody right then and there because you're going to go into a slower period. So we very rarely hired people in summer.
Right.
We generally hired over the holidays, coming into the new year, so they were fully trained, ready to rock.
Right.
Yeah.
And some people, what they do is it's actually, they don't do it that way. They hire when they need it. And then they go through the pain points of, oh, this person is not ready to execute what I need them to execute because yeah. they did poor planning on the hiring process.
Well, and I think hiring is another thing that the reason why I like a formula to tell me mm-hmm. is it's not emotional.
Mm.
Right. And so a lot of times what you'll see small
when you say not emotional, what does that mean?
Well, a lot of owners, mm-hmm. they may get in a period where they're tired, right? they're getting tired. They're getting, you know, they're getting run down. They're working. Mm-hmm. If you're a small business owner, first person to tell anybody that small business owners work harder than anybody else.
Yes, that's right? accurate.
So they get tired and now, or they have a partner that's a spouse and mm-hmm. maybe they don't want to work as many hours anymore, mm-hmm. right? But that doesn't necessarily mean it's the right time to hire, or they see a surge, right? And so going back to the trend comment, we never allowed 1 month to change our capacity model mm-hmm. unless it was due to us bringing on a client that came on a lot faster than we thought, right? Because mm-hmm. normally there's a ramp to getting a larger client.
30 to
so
25 days.
We generally didn't emotionally hire based on a month or a surge. I'll just use the other, you know, last month for us was a perfect example. If we were emotional, we would have hired all day long. But the reality is we kind of slowed everything down and it was okay. Right.
Yes.
But, and so you want to make sure you're paying attention to what the real trends of your industry are, what your real capacities are, what mm-hmm. your real growth models are. And I think when people do that and they slow it down, they use formulas and they pragmatically look at the data, not emotionally, you make good business decisions. And at the end of the day, you'll be a more profitable company.
Amazing. So, David, do you have any kind of process on your website that can aid some of our entrepreneur friends or viewers that can help them with that formula or kind of anything?
I do. I actually have it's a survey. Kind of a questionnaire, and it kind of goes through the process of, you know, asking some questions, and they kind of rate where they're at, mm-hmm. and it says it's based on when I should grow, when I should not. Okay. The formula actually is on and the whole write-up of what we talked about was on a blog that I put out a while back. Mm-hmm. It's very straightforward, and then they can always just reach out to me at trustedpreneurs.com. Happy to have a free consultation with them and kind of walk them through what their needs are and then see if there's something we can do to help them going further.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your insights. We appreciate you for being here with me today. And we are just going to go ahead and close it out. Well, thank you for watching, y'all. And I'll see you soon. Just anything else you need to do?
I'd like to thank producer Mike once again and his team for always making it easier for us. Never forget to dream big. The initial step to greatness is the toughest. However, the ones after that make the path so much smoother. And so till next time, we'll see you soon.